We had a compelling Kentucky Derby winner, Mage, who had only raced three times in his life before winning the Run for the Roses on Saturday. And that is just a fraction of the news that has come out of Churchill Downs in Lexington, Kentucky over the last week or so. Pat 40 from Sports Illustrated at by Pat 40 on Twitter joins us on the Adam Gold Show. First, let's start with the race. Are you surprised that Dale Earnhardt Jr. picked the winner on NBC before the race?
Look, anybody could pick the winner, basically, in most years in the Kentucky Derby, and this one's not too different. So maybe Dale had some special insight. I know he knows about turning left, which is what you do in a car and on a horse, but beyond that, it might have just been novice luck.
The whole thing was hysterical. All right, so first of all, the horse that won, very lightly raced, pretty much was like partially owned by the trainer, right?
The ownership is interspersed amongst four different groups, with one guy who's the bloodstock agent who helped pick out the horse and buy the horse, right, as the primary owner.
All right, so what is the backstory to this? Because I know the jockey had not won a Kentucky Derby in 15 previous starts.
Right, yeah, Javier Castellano, right. 0-15, and he said he was watching NBC coverage the day of the race in the jockey's room, and they put the 0-15 up there, and he said it was inspiration. He said, this year I'm going to do it. Lo and behold, he did. It was a heck of a ride, really, because the horse missed the break, was nearly last, and he found a nice, clean, patient trip to put Mage in position to make the stretch run.
Yeah, sometimes all you need is just a quiet ride all the way around, and he got to the top of the backstretch, and there was a lane, and he was, what, six horses wide, but at that point it doesn't matter. You're in the middle of the track, and there's just a lot of room in front. And I know the trainer thought that as soon as he saw the horse at the top of the stretch, if he knew he was going to win the race then.
Yeah, I mean, given this horse's style, his races, as you noted, he hasn't raced often, but in big races, he's had one big move. He had a big one in the Florida Derby, and Forte passed him up, but he's got that kind of Triple Crown race winning sort of one big acceleration in him, and he certainly showed it there when he got the opportunity and overhauled two Phils who actually ran a heck of a race to finish second.
Before I get to what happens at Churchill Downs, do you think that Mage will run the Preakness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I expect that he will. And I expect Forte, who had beaten Mage twice and who was scratched somewhat controversially the day of the race, to be there and meet him and give us a little bit of a storyline.
All right, as you said, somewhat controversially, there were a lot of scratches. I think five horses were scratched. And at the beginning of the week, maybe even on the weekend, a horse that was supposed to run was put down because of a fracture in his hock. What had that week, 10 days, been like for Churchill Downs?
Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible run-up, the worst run-up to the Derby I've seen, and this was my 36th of them. So, there were, again, yes, seven horse deaths in a 10-day span, starting with Wild on Ice, who was the Derby contender, who had to be euthanized after an injury to his right hind leg. And then in the races or in the paddock on race day, there were other injuries that resulted in fatalities, including two on Derby day. And then, obviously, the five scratches, most since 1936. And a trainer suspended and basically told to take his horses and leave town, Staffy Joseph, who had two of the fatalities. So it was a pretty sobering reminder of what goes with horse racing. There's some great parts to it and some that are pretty ugly.
Pat 40 is joining us here. At Santa Anita in California in the last, I don't know, a couple of years, there's been a rash of deaths as well. What does the sport, what does it say about the sport? What does it say about two tracks at Churchill Downs as well, that these things seem to be happening in bunches?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, and the thing with these at Churchill Downs, it was kind of a hodgepodge of circumstances. There were, I think, four on the dirt track, one on the grass track, two that were unrelated to racing service at all. Those were the horses for Saffy Joseph, the trainer who was suspended, who they just collapsed after the race, and those are the most suspicious ones. There was a horse that reared up in the paddock, and so, you know, you can't point and say, it's this, it's right. That, you know, the dirt surface needs to be safer, the turf needs to be safer, that sort of thing. Whereas out in California, it was, I think, a little, probably pointed a little bit more towards surface than these injuries. But still, you know, it is a problem for horse racing because there's plenty of people that are turned off when death of the competitors is part of the equation. So that's a reality, that you are turning off a large segment of your audience. There is a, you know, it's a complete hodgepodge of regulations nationally. They're right. Making big strides actually towards a kind of a homogenous medication set of guidelines, but they haven't gotten there yet. And there's a lack of central leadership in horse racing. And until those things kind of come together, I'm not sure how much farther forward the industry can come. There are fewer fatalities now, Adam, per horse, per 100 horses or whatever, than there used to be. The sport is safer, but when high-profile things like this happen at Churchill Downs the week of the Kentucky Derby, it's a very bad look.
You know, it's interesting. We talked to a longtime horse racing writer, Dick Girardi, last week, and he pointed out that Bob Baffert, who has been banned, is now finishing up, I guess, a two-year ban from Churchill Downs, that the medication that his horses were on, which has gotten him banned, is perfectly legal in other places. So it almost seems like for this sport specifically, there does need to be one set of rules.
There does. There absolutely does. And that's the thing, you know, in the, like, a suspension in one place doesn't carry over to another. So a jockey or a trainer that gets suspended just moves his operation for couple of weeks, months, years, whatever the case may be. There's nobody in charge, basically. And so you do have this kind of this lack of uniformity that really, I think, puzzles and confuses the average fan and leads to some pretty strange situations out there, for sure.
Pat 40 is joining us from Sports Illustrated at @ByPat40 on Twitter. You can also check him out on the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel and Ross Dellinger. So I have to ask you this. I saw where ESPN basically told the sports media world that we're not interested in the Pac-12 media rights at this point. Not sure if they will become interested down the road, but is the Pac-12 just not going to be on TV eventually? I mean, we're just never going to see them?
As we've joked on our podcast, we think, like, Cheddar TV and gas station TV is going to be the way to go. You know, you pull into Pump 6 and catch as much of Washington State against Stanford as you can get while you're filling up and move on from there.
They have to really speed the game up, though, to get the full game. I know they're trying to, but they'd really have to speed it up.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean, look, they're going to end up with a contract. What it is, who's involved, what the distribution is, how much is streaming versus how much is more readily available on TV, I don't know. I'm not sure anyone knows yet. I think we're getting gradually a little more information. Really, within the next 6 weeks or so, we will hopefully be getting, you know, an announcement. I think it's time, and everybody needs to know where the Pac-12 stands, and especially the members of the Pac-12 need to know where the Pac-12 stands.
Who's going to be left in the Pac-12 if they don't get anything that even approaches what the ACC or the Big 12 earns per year in terms of media? What's going to be left of the Pac-12?
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/post. That's ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter.com/post.
Well, I mean, this is going to be the big question is if they have a true disparity compared to the Big 12, do they lose schools there? You know, I'm not sure you're going to lose them to anywhere else because I don't know if the Big 10 wants Oregon and Washington per se. And who else is really actually marketable? Stanford has a massive academic cachet, but limited athletic appeal.
Right.
Still, you're dealing with college presidents who might like to be in a conference with Stanford. But, you know, it's fraught with peril for the Pac-12, for sure. You know, could they? Because the Big 12 is just sitting there waiting. They would love those four corner schools, they're
sure.
called Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State. And so that's who the Pac-12, I think, most needs to worry about, then Washington, Oregon as well, up to the Northwest.
Well, what's stopping the Big 12 right now from getting the four corner schools?
Well, because I'm not sure the schools, I think, in the Pac-12 feel like they want to wait and see what the Pac-12 deal is. It's good enough. They prefer to stay. I don't think Arizona and Arizona State are just chomping at the bit to be in the same conference with West Virginia and Central Florida. But, you know, we'll see how it all works out. You know, they would rather have a more local presence and be able to recruit in California more easily. But I think they're waiting to see what's on the table.
Pat Forte from Sports Illustrated is joining us. We used to have ACC, Coastal, and Atlantic. Maybe we could have ACC, Atlantic, and Pacific.
Well, you know, the ACC needs to find ways to conjure up more revenue.
Sure.
And if you want to try to get ESPN to break that contract or remake the contract, you know, take a swing like that. I mean, it would be truly bizarre. Syracuse, Boston College, Arizona, Arizona State. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could not get further apart in America. But, you know, all things are still on the table at this point.
Alaska Anchorage will be joining the Atlantic Coast Conference, Pat Forte. Look, I think here's what I would do if I were the commissioner of the ACC. I would encourage, demand advertising on the uniforms. Who would stop me?
Yeah, you know what? That's an interesting thought. If you're looking for ways to make money, there's an easy way, I would think, right there. And we talked about the lack of centralized leadership in horse racing. Well, college sports has that too, since the NCAA seems to have very little power. So that would be a fascinating avenue for them to explore.
Let me ask you this question. I don't think you and I have talked about it, Pat Forte. I don't want to keep you too much longer. Do you think NIL has been good for the two majors? I'm not trying to diminish all of the other sports, and we've seen it. You know, there's a lot of athletes that are taking advantage of NIL, maybe in the ways it was supposed to be implemented. But do you think ultimately NIL has been good or bad for college sports?
I think it's been good. I think athletes have been able to get some of the profits of their labor that they have long sought. I don't think it has ruined anything. It certainly hasn't ruined the economy. You know, for people that said, I'm not going to watch because this isn't amateur sports, well, check the ratings. They're watching.
Right.
For schools that say, it's going to absolutely break our budgets, well, how many coaches have been given $10 million contracts in the last 2 years in football? How many places are still building new facilities? So, you know, I just think there's been a lot of alarm without a lot of substance behind it. Has it all been perfect? Absolutely not. Is the NIL that's turned into recruiting inducements something the NCAA did not want and the schools did not want? Yes. But A, is that the worst thing? Probably not. Secondly, B, can you rein that in? Maybe. You can at least get closer to it. I think there's going to be, you know, this 2 or 3 year, 4 year period of almost wild chaos, and then it's mm-hmm. going to settle down. People get their arms around it, and it's going to work a little bit closer to the way it was intended to work.
That's what I think, too. I think that it's so new for people. And look, I said this when the NCAA came out and said, we don't want it being used as a recruiting inducement. I said, well, I figured you would say that. I don't know how you're going to stop it, but they hadn't been able to stop it before.
Well, exactly, right? You know, I mean, yes, I think it was at best naive to think that they could stop it. But to your point, Adam, it's the underground economy's been rolling for decades. You know, players were coming and going based on inducements that were offered to them. They just weren't public.
Yeah.
There was plenty of guys that you could go through the parking lots at major schools and look at the cars and say, yeah, well, those were probably NIL inducements before NIL. You know, the old now it's legal aphorism for or acronym for NIL. That's where we are, but it's always kind of been the case.
Pat 40 by Pat 40. Too many things to remember here. From Sports Illustrated, also the College Football Inquirer podcast with Dan Wetzel and Ross Dellinger. Thank you, man. I'll talk to you very soon. I appreciate it.
All right. My pleasure, Adam.
Thanks. You got it. Pat 40 from Sports Illustrated. So it was a tough week for Churchill Downs. And college sports still adjusting to everything. Honestly, I don't know what the Pac-12 is going to look like in 2 years. Don't know. I don't know how much money that they can get from a network. You're hamstrung by the time zone. Completely hamstrung by the time zone. Yes, you should dominate everything that happens after, 10 o'clock Eastern time, theoretically. But you're really choking off half of your, half of the country in terms of you can't get huge numbers. So I don't know how it's going to work. It is a difficult spot. It really is. And there might not be that much money left over with as much money as the Big Ten and the SEC is getting. And honestly, the Pac-12 and the ACC makes pretty good money too. I just don't know how much there is left for the Pac-12. And then what happens to those schools?
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/post. That's ZipRecruiter.com/post. ZipRecruiter.com/post.